The first place that I'd like you to turn this morning is in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now, we're going to look at several places of Scripture here at the beginning. Psalm 119. The first verse we'll look at in this psalm is verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. It says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Now, real briefly, think about this. If His word is settled in heaven, do you think He is going to alter it here on earth? Do you think that the principles He has established relative to His word will be different here on earth than what He has spoken in heaven? Well, obviously, the answer is no. Well, let's look at another place. Same psalm, but verse 160. It says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Where He talks about righteous judgments, that's not simply speaking of judgment, but it's another way to put that would be a righteous determination or a righteous declaration or a righteous proclamation. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy aspects of Thy word endureth forever." Where He said that Thy word is true from the beginning, well, remember the Bible talks about in the beginning God created. And this beginning is taking us all the way back to natural existence day one, which would be Genesis chapter 1. And where He says Thy word is true, this is talking about an eternal truth, an unchangeable truth, a truth that cannot be altered. You can accept it if you want to or reject it as well, but the truth will not be changed. It cannot be altered whatsoever. Now let's look at another place. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll look at one verse here. It says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's kind of paraphrase this a little bit. The things of the natural are going to change. The things of the natural will die, fade away. The things of the natural are facing, you know, constant change and so forth. But the word of the Lord, the word of God, it stands forever. You're not going to change it. It stands forever. Now this, you know, we've got some other passages to look at, but, you know, I just want to challenge you to consider what we've seen so far and the fact that God's word is not going to change. And it doesn't matter what you believe or what you do, God's word is not going to change. Now you can live according to His word or not. It's totally our choice. It's kind of like over there where God was talking about, you know, "I set this day I set before you blessings and cursings, life and death." And He said, you know, it's going to be to your advantage to choose life. Well, what is life? His word. His word is life. And it's always going to be life. And that's not going to change, no matter what you do. Now, let's look at another place. Turn over to 1 Peter. Let's kind of narrow this down even more to us as believers. We know that God's word is not going to change. It is permanent. Regardless of what we think or believe, or regardless of what we wish it might say, it says what it says, and that's just how it goes. It's forever established. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Well, this is a natural analogy, you know, like a human baby, desire the milk to grow. Well, spiritually speaking, he's talking about us desiring the Word of God so that we may grow thereby. Now, if we take this verse and we apply it to what we've already seen about God's Word, we could kind of present this second verse like this. As Christians, even those who have just become born again, desire the eternal truth that is never going to change. For it is by that Word, the Word of God's unchangeable, unalterable truth, that you are going to grow. I think that's a very fair paraphrase of that particular verse. So what does that mean to us? It means desire the Word to grow. Now, in the past, I have shared with you that there is a way to look at Scripture that might help you understand it better, might help, might increase its impact. And that's the cause and effect, or the equal and opposite principle. So what is the opposite principle in this verse? No Word, no truth, no growth. You see that? So let's read it that way. As Christians, even those who have recently accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if you do not desire the truth of God's Word, you will not grow. Now see, that's a very simple concept, very simple principle, because if you see a truth in Scripture, then when you reverse that, you're going to find out what will not happen for you. So what we're seeing here is that as Christians, if we want to grow, then we have to apply God's truth and we will grow. Let's look at another place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Two verses. First and second. Paul's writing and he says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ." Now look at what he's coming to do. "To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Okay, now he's not talking about simply, you know, you've got your... Remember, this is written to Christians, all right? So this is not an evangelistic campaign here. What he's writing, "to comfort you concerning your... to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith." Another way to put that would be, he is coming to help you become more established as far as what you believe and what it will produce in your life. Because we've seen what the Word will do over there in Peter. It will cause us to grow spiritually. It will cause us to mature. And so he's saying, look, we're sending Timothy to you to help you, to comfort you, to establish you concerning what you believe. Because, think of it this way. If you don't believe what is right, then there can be no growth. What does it say over in Peter? And God's Word is truth, it is unchangeable. So if we do not believe what is unchangeable and unalterable relative to God's perspective, the growth won't be there, and not only that, but we will not be established. See this. Look at another place. 2 Timothy chapter 2. People know these verses that we're going to read. In fact, some of you could probably stand up and quote them without even reading them, without turning to them. But for the benefit of people who don't have them yet memorized, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now again, this is talking about spiritual growth and spiritual maturity and developing into what God desires. "Study to show yourself approved unto God." Not approved unto me or unto anybody else, but approved unto God. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly understanding, rightly interpreting, rightly comprehending the word of truth." What is the word of truth? It's God's word. What is unique about God's word? It's not going to change. It's established forever. Permanent. If you ever want anything permanent, you've got God's word. It's not going to change. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what do we see here? We see that God's Word, which is truth, which is eternal, which is unchangeable, God's Word is given by inspiration of God, obviously. And not only that, but it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, all so that we may be perfect. Perfect meaning spiritually mature, grown up in the Lord, developed into what He desires, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What are good works? His perfect will. Not what we interpret as His perfect will, not what we think His perfect will might be, but what His perfect will is. Not what we would want His perfect will to be, but what His perfect will is. That's what this is talking about. Okay, now, let's think for a moment here. I'm to study to show myself to prove myself approved unto God. Study what? All Scripture. Rightly dividing the Word of truth, God's Word. And the first thing he talks about here is the fact that it's profitable for doctrine. But then it's also profitable to reprove me, correct me, and make sure that I have a clear understanding about the word of his righteousness, the fullness of righteousness. I mean, all of these things. Okay, now. Let's say that I hear Pastor Joe and Pastor Steve stand up and preach their sermons. I'm watching them on television. Pastor Joe comes after Pastor Steve. And I watch Pastor Steve, and he's preaching. And he says one thing about a particular subject. Then Pastor Steve comes on after Pastor Joe, and he, lo and behold, he's preaching about the same subject. But what he says is different than what Pastor Joe said. So what do I do? How do I get around that? How do I resolve this conflict? Because that's exactly what it is. Well, I could order all of Pastor Joe's and Pastor Steve's books and tapes on that subject. I could do that. But what would be an even better thing? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Not all of Pastor Joe's sermons or all of Pastor Steve's sermons, unless they come from the truth that God has established for all eternity. So, here's what typically happens. I'll listen to Pastor Joe and Pastor Steve, and Pastor Steve says one thing, Pastor Joe says another thing, all on the same subject, and what they say kind of contradicts, and they're both trying to use Scripture to prove their point. And the whole time that they're doing this, here's God sitting on the throne saying, "Hello, what about this right here? You know who I will believe? You know who I'm going to accept? Pastor Joe, if I go to his church. You know I'm not going to reject my own pastor for what this other guy says. So I'm going to accept Pastor Joe. Oh, but if I go to Pastor Steve's church, I'm going to accept Pastor Steve, am I not? Or if I go to the same denominational church in which Pastor Joe's church is a part, then I'll go along with that because he's one of ours, praise God. Likewise with Pastor Steve and his church. Or I'll go with who I like the best, whose presentation I like the best, whose personality I like the best. You know, if he's a screamer, yeller, shouter, and all this other, and I don't like that, well then bless God, I just won't receive what he has to say, even if it's truth. I want this over here, because this guy has a more, balanced approach. Well, maybe the balanced approach is right. How am I going to know? What happens is, I begin allowing people to be the ones who define for me what is and is not truth relative to God's Word. And I live my life based upon the foundations that they establish, not upon the foundation that God has established in His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not all sermons are given by inspiration of God. But all Scripture is. So now, this kind of puts me in a quandary. What do I do? How do I know what to believe? Now, I'm going to respect that question, but only to a certain point. And here's why. Because anyone who has a Bible has these things from 2 Timothy in their Bible. And what that means is the I don't know what to believe thing is only going to go so far. Because if you read your Bible and you find out that you're supposed to study to show yourself approved unto God, and that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for all these things, and that God's Word is never going to change, and that God's Word is what's going to cause you to grow, God's Word is going to be the thing that's going to help you to mature, etc., so forth and so on. And then the bottom line is this. You can listen to Pastor Joe and Pastor Steve all you want, but God's the only one who's really going to be able to help you out. And what I have encountered so many times is that a lot of Christians, in fact, I mean, way too many. I would almost go as far as to say the majority, you know, 51% or more. But I'll just leave it at a lot. A lot of Christians, quite frankly, they don't really want to know truth. They want someone else to establish truth for them. Okay? In other words, I don't want to waste my time having to dig this out for myself. I'll choose to go to your church and you tell me what to believe. And I'll be happy. Especially if it seems logical and it seems to make sense. I'll be okay with it. Now that sounds rather trite, and when I put it that way, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. But every one of you in here knows that this is the way it's going on in the body of Christ. There are people that, you know, they, for whatever reason, they'll choose a church because of their programs. Well, they're helping people. Praise God. They're doing this. Hallelujah. They've got classes. Well, glorioski. I mean, they've got this, they've got that. You know, they do this thing over here, and they closer to home. Or whatever. I like the paintings on their walls. I like the color of their carpet. I like the people that are there. They have good music. Great choir. I mean, they're all different kinds of things that people use as the criteria for choosing a church. I don't like a small church. I want a big church. A lot more to do. Okay, then you're going to go find your big church. I don't like big churches. Too impersonal. I like a small church where everybody knows everybody. So they go to a small church. And just on this goes. All right, well, let me tell you what. Let's forget about everybody else on planet Earth for the moment. Okay? Let's forget about your husband and your wife and your kids. Let's forget about your mom and your dad. Let's forget about me. Let's forget about the people on TV. Let's just talk about you and God. Okay? Let's just do that. One of the things that... Those of you who've been around long enough, and you know me, and you've heard me, you know that I can be an old billy goat at times. That I'm hard-headed, that I'm stubborn, that I am unyielding, unbending, and I refuse to compromise what I see in Scripture. And that upsets some people. I've had people get mad at me. In this congregation, over the years, people get mad at me. Some people, I mean, there have been times when I have been up here and I've been walking people through Scripture. I'm like verse by verse. I mean, what are you going to do with verse by verse? Walking people through verse by verse and showing things. And honest to God, if we were in the natural, unsaved, sitting in a bar, a fight would have broke out. Now, I'm not saying that just to be funny. Half of you aren't laughing anyway. I'm not just saying that just to be saying. I'm telling you, I could. There are times when, like, it's like visual venom has been coming out of people's faces directed to me. And the reason for it is because they can't stand what they're hearing from God's Word. But the problem is it's coming out of my mouth. And they've got a Bible. They can follow along in Scripture. And it's like they don't like it. And some people have gotten so mad they've left the church. Is it because of me? Yeah, it is. It's because when I show truth, they don't like it, and so they leave. They'll go somewhere where a passage of Scripture will be presented to them in a way that they'll accept it. So does that make me better? No. Does that make somebody else worse? No. What does it mean? It just means you got a bunch of ate-up people out there. That's really what it comes down to. You got a bunch of... See, listen, here's the thing about it. Let this sink in. If you think I'm hard-headed and stubborn as a bull and sometimes come across mean as an ox or whatever, you know who's worse? It's the people who stub up and refuse to check God's Word. They're the worst. They absolutely are the worst. They hear something they disagree with and they don't get into God's Word, phooey on them. Don't you get mad at me. Who do you think you are, you arrogant thing? And think about this. They get on me for being unrelenting. I'm not on a soapbox. We're headed towards something here. Trust me. What I'm saying is, what we have seen in God's Word is not going to change. And it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. If I start preaching weird stuff and teaching weird stuff, it's not going to change God's Word. It's just going to be me being ate up, trying to change God's Word. But it's not going to change it. What's written is written, and you're not going to alter that. Now, we have seen in God's Word what has been given to us by inspiration of Him, that all Scripture given to us is profitable for doctrine, for our spiritual growth, for our spiritual maturity, and all of these things. So what does that mean? What it means is this. It behooves us to get into God's Word and find out what we're supposed to believe. And this is just a variation on the theme of things that I've shared many, many times. Okay, now let's really start to narrow this down. Those of you that have been around long enough, you know that repeatedly I instruct you, teach, share, show from God's Word, that there are four things primarily that produce our spiritual growth and maturity. Okay? And I've referred to them as the four pillars of spiritual growth, or the four pillars of spiritual maturity. They are prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, worship, primarily private worship, and the Word, meditation in the Word. Meditation in the Word, it's not just, you know, reading it and getting into it and finding out the Greek and Hebrew words. I mean, meditation is a whole lot more than that. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to teach on praying in tongues, worship, fasting, and the Word today. I'm not going to do it. What I am going to do, though, is point you in the right direction. You'll understand here in just a few moments. Over the years, I have gone through Scripture repeatedly, and we have developed teaching series on these various topics. And we have gone through God's Word in the way that God has instructed us. In Isaiah 28, God says, who in the world, and I'm paraphrasing, who in the world am I going to be able to teach knowledge? Who am I going to be able to teach doctrine to? Who can I do this? And he goes on and explains how that teaching is supposed to be line upon line and precept upon precept. Okay? Now, we followed that principle, and we've gone through God's Word, and we've taken a look at these things of praying in tongues. Well, prayer, including praying in tongues. Okay? Not just praying in tongues, but prayer, including praying in tongues. And we've taken a look at worship. We've taken a look at fasting. And we've taken a look at the Word. We have that the fasting series that's out there, like 16 tapes, okay? 26 tapes, is that what it is, 26? 26 tapes, glory to God. Oh, I know what I was thinking. Anyway, 26 tapes, yeah. And I can remember one person talking to another person saying, well, you know, he's got this series on fasting. Oh, really? Yes, and it's very good. No kidding. Yes, it's 26 tapes long. Ah! Who can teach that long on fasting? I think I'll go have lunch. okay now. Now let's think. I'm going to make a statement, okay? A few statements here, and then expand briefly. Say what you want, believe what you want, but according to God's Word, praying in tongues is going to produce spiritual maturity in you. Anyone who teaches otherwise is lying to you because they either don't know or they don't want to accept. It's one of the two things. Now, some people hearing this message already are starting to get uncomfortable. That is not my problem. It is your problem. And here's why it is your problem and not mine. I make a statement that praying in tongues is going to help you mature spiritually. It's going to help you grow. If you choose to reject that without checking it in God's Word, you now are going to stand held accountable for all eternity before God.
You say, well, I don't want to ask me anything.
Now, hold on here. Let's move on to fasting. Brother Martin, it's too near lunchtime. I don't want to talk about fasting. We went through that series on fasting, and I explained to you, we went through God's Word. We broke down verses that some people had never understood in their entire life, broke down entire passages and explained them, and showed how that fasting helps you grow and mature spiritually and overcome things in your life and so on. Now, that came from God's Word. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. You can be like the one preacher, won't give his name, but he said the only thing fasting does is make you hungry. And this is a full gospel preacher who honestly should know better. He's also the same guy that said the only thing water baptism does is get you wet. Got a series on that too. So fasting. Fasting will help you grow and mature spiritually.
Well, prove it.
I'm getting there. Just hold on. Worship.
Brother Martin, I just don't understand why you people staying around for like half hour at a time, flapping your jaws, singing all them songs. I mean, what's the matter with you?
Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is explained very clearly, line upon line, precept upon precept in God's Word. But it's up to you whether or not you want to accept it. See? And what about the Word? Meditation in the Word. That'll bring about change. Obviously, we've seen that as well. It's in there. Let's add another one. Okay, let's add one more category to this. Prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. These things help you to grow and mature spiritually. Okay? Now, I'm just going to admit to you publicly that the fasting area is the one that I fight the most with. And some people, they don't seem to have a problem with fasting. I personally think they're liars, but some people say they don't have a problem with fasting. But those four, according to God's Word, impact us on a spiritual level and help us become what God wants, help us change, help us mature and grow spiritually. Now, if we try to introduce other things, okay, and say that other things will produce a spiritual growth, maturity, and et cetera, and so forth, we're wrong. What we're doing is we're trying to add to God's Word. And in some cases, we will reject maybe the praying in tongues.
That may be for you, but not for me.
We will reject the worship. We will reject maybe the fasting. We will reject the need for the meditation of God's Word, you know, the way true meditation is understood, presented from Scripture. We may add some other things. I'll just grab some here. You know, church attendance. Church attendance does not cause you to mature spiritually. Helping out in church. In any capacity, helping out in church, that does not cause you to mature spiritually. It absolutely does not. Giving money, it does not help you to grow spiritually. The only thing that's going to help you mature spiritually are those things which impact you on a spiritual level. There are no other options, and that's the problem. And too many times, as we've already said, we allow other people to establish or define for us truth. We'll take their books, and we'll read their books, and their books talk about being a good Christian and being this. And so we see things we're supposed to be, but if we don't impact ourselves on a spiritual level with what works, then it's going to be impossible for us to become what God wants. That's because God is a spirit, and the part of us that is born again is our spirit. And it is our spirit that is to conform to the image of Christ. So the spiritual maturity is based totally and completely on doing what impacts us on a spiritual level. And again, I know there are people hearing this, that they don't want to hear this. They don't want to. And the reason for it is because they want to define God on their terms. I mean, He is God. He's... They want to define Him relative to spiritual maturity on their terms. And they want to say that these things over here will help me grow, and some of this other stuff, yeah, I can understand reading the Bible and how that can help me, and I can understand about praying, but, you know, I mean, these other things, like that praying in tongues stuff, it's just too radical. Or this fasting stuff, I don't know if I can handle that or not. And all this other, you know, this worship thing, and the thing is, when you go back into Scripture, you're not going to find where God contradicts Himself, and that creates a problem. You're either applying His truth to your life, or you are applying your own developed truth, which is not truth, but in actuality, it is a lie. So somewhere along the line, you have accepted a lie, and that lie has now become your standard of truth, when in actuality, it is no truth. The only things that will cause you to grow spiritually are the things that God has established in His Word. Now, a few moments ago, I said we're going to add another category into this. And that category is, God, what is Your call for my life? What is Your will for me, God? I just wish I knew. I just wish I knew. I just wish I knew. Well, you can know. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For one thing, the callings of God, the ministry callings, are in Scripture. They are not in your psychological profile. God's callings are in Scripture. That means you have to get into God's Word to find out what the callings are. The last thing I want is some guy standing up, as nice as he might be, as educated, as personable, as loving, as you know all the positive adjectives you can come up with. He is that, all of them. But I don't want him handing me a piece of paper and say, fill in the little circles, add up the totals, and that's what you're supposed to be. You're not... I'm not... There is no such thing as the ministry of usher. There is no such thing as the ministry of deacon. You say, hold on there, Brother Martin. Deacon's in the Bible. I know it's in the Bible, but it's not a ministry. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. It's not a ministry calling. It is a thing you do. Bishop is not a ministry calling. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. But it is in Scripture. Heathen's in the Bible. Some people, you know, you kind of wonder. Found my calling. What is it, heathen? Well, you are fulfilling it. Hallelujah. Ministry callings are in God's Word, and they are also defined by God's Word. But you know what? It takes time to dig these things out. And that's where so many Christians, they don't want to be bothered. It isn't that they don't love Jesus, and it isn't that they don't want to serve Him. But in reality, they don't want to put forth the effort to find out. They don't want to do these things. Okay, now, those five categories, the four that work on you on a spiritual level and the one that's going to help you find out what God has called you to do. Hey, did you know there's no such thing as the ministry of counselor? It's not in Scripture.
Yeah, it is.
Don't you start that again. It's not in there. Did you know that there's no such thing as the ministry of worship leader?
Well, I know there is.
No, there's not. My brother's a worship leader. He may lead worship, but there's no ministry calling as a worship leader.
Brother Martin, you're wrong. How come? My preacher said so.
I'm talking about God's Word. In God's Word, there is no ministry calling of worship leader. It doesn't mean you don't need good worship leaders. Don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is, if you want to know what God's calling is, it's got to be defined by God's Word. You have to be able to identify it scripturally and then come up with the scriptural definition. This is one of the reasons why the whole thing of the helps ministry is so messed up. Man has defined it with their English Webster's definition. But they haven't defined it according to God's definition. And so you have people out there trying to do things, fulfilling a ministry that doesn't exist. Okay, now, as I mentioned, I'm not going to reteach today all of those things we mentioned. Praying, especially praying in tongues, worship, fasting, the Word, and discovering God's will. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to point you in the direction. Because earlier, I shared with you how that, as you know, over the years, we have gone through and studied these subjects. And we have collections of teachings that deal with these subjects. And so this morning, I'm going to identify by name every single one of those teachings that deals with these areas. And if you want to write them down, you can. Or if you want to get the tape, you can. Or for those of you who are live and present, if you want a copy of this, we'll make one for you. Now when it comes to prayer, not just praying in tongues, but prayer, here are the series that are going to line upon line, precept upon precept, take you through God's Word and help you see these things. Series number 103, Our Tongues for Today. Series number 104, Praying in Tongues, What Am I Saying? Series number 109, But I Don't Have Time to Pray. Series 121, The Power of Praying in Tongues. Series 135, Getting Prayers Answered. Series 154, How the Holy Spirit Teaches Us. Series 172, The Person of the Holy Spirit. Now let me interject this. All of what I'm sharing with you right now is relative to this day. In the future, this list may expand for each of these areas, okay? Okay, now fasting. Series 152, Unlocking the Secrets of Fasting. Worship. Series 140, Unleashing the Power of Worship. Series 159, Breaking Through with Worship. You want to know why we spend all the time we do worshiping? You want to know why we sing in the Spirit, sing with the understanding? You want to know why we lift our hands? You want to know what happens when you worship? Why this stuff goes on? You need to get these series. It explains all this. Meditation, the Word. Series 105, Meditation Produces Transformation. And now finding out God's call, His calling, His ministry calling on your life. Series 116, God's True Will. Series 122, Living God's Plan. Series 126, Learning to Hear God's Voice. Series 129, Lord, What Do I Do? Series 133, Taking Heed to Your Ministry. Series 137, Guidelines for Growth. Series 138, God, What Is Your Plan for Me? Series 164, How to Be Promoted by God. Now, do you realize what's just happened? You have now become accountable beyond all measure of comprehension. Because at this point, I'll just say it like this because it's true. At this point, there's not one person who's hearing this who should ever have to come to me again and ask me to explain about praying in tongues or about worship or about fasting. There's not one. Here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that when we stand before God in judgment, that He's going to accept any excuse for not conforming to the image of Christ? Or at least trying to? I mean, do you really think He's going to accept our explanations for why we didn't? Do you think that God will accept, but we didn't teach it that way? Do you think God will accept, well, yeah, but Father, you know, I mean, that wasn't for us in our church. For these other folks over here, maybe, but not for us. Do you think He's going to accept any of this? Okay. He's not. You're right. What does this mean? What this means is this. This message today is probably one of the most critical that anyone would ever hear. Because from this point on, no one, and I mean no one, has a platform on which to stand to argue with me about whether or not praying in tongues, worship, fasting, or meditation in the Word works. Because what I have done... See, a lot of here's the thing. Those of you that have heard all these teaching series, you can understand how somebody says, I don't believe in that praying in tongues stuff. It's like, all right, well, I can show you some verses. Well, yeah, but... You understand that you can't just take 5 minutes and explain all of this. What I'm saying is, if you really want to know, if you really want to understand, I have just given you what you can listen to. It'll point you in the right direction. It'll take you through God's Word. It'll show you how these things work in your life. And for someone to say, well, but I just don't agree with that praying in tongues stuff. Yeah, but you know what? You haven't even checked it out in the Word. Yeah, but I read this book by, you know, Reverend so-and-so, and I read, you know, this curriculum over here, and I listened to this thing, and they all said that it really doesn't, and it shouldn't, and it ought not to, and it's not for, and so, oh, and you're accomplishing what? How are you doing yourself any good? You're nothing. You're a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite because you are esteeming what somebody else has said, and you're not checking these things out in God's Word. And what I'm doing in these tapes is I'm taking you through God's Word so you can check God's Word out. It's not just so you can listen to me or get my opinion. It's so you can get into God's Word and see these things, see what He has said. I can't cause you to grow spiritually. I can't do anything for you like that. But if you take these things that God has established and you apply these things to your life, the change will come. The downside to this is it's going to take some time. And that's where we get back to the thing, Christians really don't want to do this. Many. But it's going to take you some time. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to follow along in Scripture. You're going to have to, you know, get into the Word of God. Because remember, it's this Word that won't change. And so, if you want to know how prayer and praying in tongues and how all this is going to help you, I have just told you, you know, just listen and follow along in the Word of God. Follow along in the Word. And the same thing for the worship and the same thing for all of these that we've covered today. Now, it's up to whoever hears this. If they want to change, if they want to become the fullness, say, well, Brother Martin, this is just how you look at it. You're right, it is. Don't get my face. It is how I look at it. Let me throw this out to you again to remind you guys of this. There was a time in my life, in my Christian life, where I did not believe these things and I spoke against them. Okay? And it took some correcting. Well, all Scripture, reproof, correction. It took correcting on God's part, but more importantly, it took me being willing to let God correct me from His Word. The hardest part about this is the fact that I'm the pastor. And immediately, some people tune me out because of that. Well, you're supposed to say those things. Well, it's your church. But I'll just go over here to this other church. Or I'll go back where I came from. Or I'll move. I'll do something. Because I want to hear something that's compatible with what I want to believe. Well, you're already living it. Whether it's me, anyone in the body of Christ, these things that I shared with you today are the things that are going to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be, because they impact you on a spiritual level. And once you're impacted on a spiritual level, you become more impacted on a soulish level. Too many people have it reversed. They want to impact themselves soulishly and hope it becomes a spiritual truth. Now, what does this mean? Well, what it means is this. You know, I mean, you do with it what you want, really. And I'm not saying that to be critical. God's still going to love you, for crying out loud. You know, people, they say things like, well, it's praying in tongues stuff. I mean, you make it sound like that you're not a good Christian if you don't pray in tongues. No, I don't. Honestly, I don't. Get those tapes and listen. I don't say that. And I've never said that. Truth of the matter is, I've said just the opposite. I have said praying in tongues isn't going to make you a better Christian. It isn't going to make you more loved of God. It isn't going to make you more born again. It's just going to help you to become what God wants you to become. See, people are, there's some folks, man, they're so stubborn, they're just going to argue no matter what. And they're not going to take the time to get back into God's Word. Or they pull a verse out of context. Well, this verse here says, and then, you know, the response, well, yeah, but what about, how does that verse fit into the context of the entire chapter?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, how does the chapter fit into the context of the whole book?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, check it out. It's not that hard. Let me tell you what. I have gone through a lot of change when it comes to what I believe. And some of it's just doggone not been easy. Because I didn't want the change. I didn't want the truth God was showing me to be truth. I wanted to tell Him what was truth. I know we don't literally say it that way, but you understand what I mean. I don't want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. And I don't want to listen to any old preacher tell me that I'm wrong. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. Because I like me. And if you don't tell me I'm right, then I'll go find a church that will. Well, they're out there. Listen, no matter what you believe, sooner or later you can find a church that's going to tell you you're right. But here's the thing. What I have done today is given you the information that you need. Put it this way. I put a shovel in your hands and you can start digging. Digging into God's Word. I've gone through the same process, guys. I know exactly what people are going through. I know the process. I know the time it's going to take. But I also know what the results are going to be. And I keep discovering more and more results the whole time. But what I want to, in closing, this isn't my first closing or my second, this is it, the only closing. If you want to change spiritually, to truly become everything God wants you to become, to become the husband God wants, the wife God wants, the pastor, the evangelist, the whatever. To truly become everything that God wants, we all have no option but to do those things which impact us on a spiritual level. If we do those things, the spiritual change will come. If we don't do those things, soulish change may come, but spiritual confirmation to the image of Christ won't be there. Yeah, you'll be born again, but the kind of change that God's looking for won't be there. And I know that this is a very difficult thing for many people to accept. I know that. But once again, don't just take my word for it. Get into the Word for yourself and pray about it. Get some of these tape sets. Listen to these things. Follow along in Scripture and let God speak to you. Let Him show you these things. Praise the Lord. It's up to us how bad we want to change. And listen, it's for me too. It's up to us. Just because I know what brings about change, doesn't bring about change. If I don't do what I know brings change, the change doesn't come. So I'm in this thing too. No different. So if we want to change, we can. We need to impact ourselves on a spiritual level, and we'll experience the presence, the glory, and the change that God desires. He will be working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, please stand.